It's Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. Time is 6:37, and we welcome back to the show our good friend, Mr. Dave Safransky. He's a money expert, and he helps us use our money wisely, teach our kids about money wisely, which we're going to dive into that with him today. Good morning, Mr. Safransky. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah.
Is it raining there? Is it raining?
Oh, yeah.
Just a little, Still. Yes. How about you?
It's raining here. We've had a lot of rain. But I know that when this all ends and the sun comes out, there's going to be some beautiful flowers. There has to be, right?
That's right.
That's the payoff.
We're doing the April showers for May flowers. We're hoping that's true. We'll go with that.
We hope so.
As long as they don't float away, that's what I'm concerned about.
Right.
So the kids are probably indoors a lot more, too, with the rain and everything. It may be a good chance to just seize the moment and opportunity, sit them down and teach them a little bit about how to handle money well.
It is a good time because we just got done with taxes, and so you can cast that burden off for another 11 months and some change. And so I think what we like to do, Ted, is to teach our kids about money. We want to instill in them a heart of giving, and that is not an easy thing to do because it's not natural to want to give your money away. It's really natural to want to build bigger barns and do things like that. And so it's going to take some planning, I think, to really teach your kids how to develop a heart for giving. And it's not easy for everybody, but we are commanded to do this. And in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul is talking about generosity, and he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So what he's saying is it's okay to give. And it's okay to give generously because we're commanded to do that. Now, we always talk about our tithe and the first 10%, and that is true. It should, I think, go to the place where you're being fed, your home church. But that was just a beginning. I think we're called to give more than that, and that could go to other things like missions and things like that. So what I always tell people is begin with a plan. Have a written plan that you can follow. And so to do that, you have to sit down and think it through and actually write out a plan giving plan. Who do you want to give to and why do you want to give to them and what is it that you hope to achieve? And what my wife and I used to do is we used to give a little bit, dozens of different things. And we sat down one year and we thought it through and we decided to really focus on a few things and get really good at it and find out about it and get involved in the ministry. And that's really helped us out because we've been able to actually become involved in the things that we're giving to, and I really like doing that.
So how do we teach our kids this? You know, first of all, are you a fan of giving an allowance to your kids, or do you have, you know, would you prefer that we have them work for the money that they get? How do you view that?
Well, I've always thought that we should give our kids age-appropriate chores to do. Mm-hmm. And I made this mistake, PK, when I was a much younger dad, where I didn't think our kids should have chores, and it really came back to bite me. Almost literally, my kids were biting me, but you know how kids could be.
They get a little snarky, don't they?
Yeah, and my wife kind of set me straight on that, and we did give them chores to do, and we paid them an appropriate amount of money for those chores, so they understood that there's a relationship between work and earning, and I think that's a very appropriate thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I was never one. I think a heart of giving cannot be forced, and this is why it's important to teach our kids how to give, because I think a heart of giving is something that's in your heart. It's either there or it's being developed to be there, but you can't force somebody to do things that they don't want to do. So I think when we set up our giving plan, I think it would be an okay thing to allow your kids to have some discretion with limits with some of the money. Mm-hmm. So if you were giving to something and you wanted your kids to have a little bit of discretion with some of that money, maybe it's their youth group, maybe it's something that a homeless shelter, something that they would like to do. But in doing that, you also want to encourage some involvement with that thing that they're giving to. So mm-hmm. it might require you to go someplace that you haven't gone before, or do something that you haven't done, but allow your child to experience not only giving to a ministry, but also being involved with what they're giving to. And I think that's a very important thing, because when you visit and you witness the things that you give to, now it becomes real.
Yeah.
And you can see, well, we gave some money to this, And this is what they did with it. And it is either really good or we need to talk to them about what they're doing. Because I also think that there's a huge responsibility that people have that you give money to. And one of the things, as you know, I just got back from a missions trip to Brazil. And our mission in Maués that we visit and we go out and we drill water wells with, one of the things that really impresses me about them is how they handle everything that they have. And everything that they have is very important to them because they don't know if they're going to get it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to take care of every piece of equipment, every drop of water that they have. It is very important. And that spirit of responsibility, I think, is not in every ministry. And so I want to make sure if we're going to give money to them that it's going to be handled responsibly, because you also have a responsibility when you give money to make sure it's going to what you're giving it to.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the things about money that people don't realize how big of a responsibility it is. And so we do have a responsibility to make sure our money is being used wisely.
Dave Safransky joining us again here on Faith Radio Mornings. We're talking about giving, the importance of teaching our kids about the importance of giving and how to do that. And when we come back after a quick break, we'll continue talking with Dave and want to get into contentment and how we can help cultivate a spirit of contentment in our kids as well. It's 6:43. More with Dave Safransky here on Faith Radio Mornings coming up. My Savior loves me. It's 6:45 of Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK on this Tuesday. We're talking with Dave Safransky. He's a money manager with Edgewater Investments and a friend of our show, joins us regularly to talk money matters.
Dave, I wanted to ask one more question, too, as we're raising our kids and really trying to teach them financial responsibility and accountability, too. And I had two kids, and, you know, our kids can be so different, and we can teach them how to save. You can have one that can be just a saver and really is very conscientious, and then you may have one that has a heart as big as Texas, and they want to give away every single penny that they've owned. And they're like, well, come on, this is so good. This is so important. How do you deal with that? Because it's really a great thing to have that giving heart, but you don't want them to just give it all away either.
Yeah, I think kids are kind of like vines that you're training up a trellis where you can't force a vine to do something it doesn't want to do. You're just going to break it. And so as our kids get older and they develop these different personalities, we probably are going to have different plans for each one.
Right.
Because they're so unique in the way that God created them. But I think that the if my kid wanted to go outside without a coat on and it was 12 degrees, my wife would be mad at me, but I'd let him initially because he's going to find out really quick, it's cold out here and I need a coat. And sometimes we need those natural consequences to be instilled in them so they realize, well, maybe I do need a coat. And Dad, you know, so I don't want to have to tell him every time to get a coat on. He's going to know if there's snow outside, which mm-hmm. I heard in your forecast, which I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
But if there's snow outside, you should probably put a coat on. And in the same way, this is why you need to do this when they're young, so that the natural consequences that they feel as a child are much smaller than they would feel as an adult. Because the natural consequences as an adult could be a home foreclosure if you're not good with money, or a car repossession, or not being able to afford have enough money to buy groceries. Mm-hmm. So you want to teach these kids. Somebody is going to teach our kids about money. It's either going to be you or the world. Mm-hmm. And the world is going to teach them, When you want something, just go out and buy it. It's okay. There's no consequences. Get another credit card.
Right.
And the world really does teach that, because in the world, you're never supposed to be satisfied with what you have. You're never supposed to be content. You're always supposed to want more. That's the way we're training people to believe, because if you just watch TV for 5 minutes, your car is not good enough. Your house is not big enough.
That's
your
right.
Your teeth are not white enough, and you can't see far enough.
Yeah.
And that's just in 5 minutes. And so we have to find a way at some point in time to be content with what we have. It is not an easy thing to do in the world that we live in. And that's another reason why we're considered aliens in the world, because we're supposed to be satisfied. And it doesn't mean that you don't strive to get more, to do better. But there is some point where you say, I am not going to wear myself out to have things. It is not easy to do in the world that we live in. So, PK, my answer to you would be, allow your children, especially as they're young, to feel natural consequences mm-hmm. to their financial decisions. So if they wanted to save up, and what I always wanted to do with our kids is, if they wanted a musical instrument or a bike or something that I would be for, I would say, look, I will contribute to that, but you have to earn 50% of it or 60% of it or whatever the number I came up with. And so they would have to go out and earn things, do things to earn that money so that they realized there was a cost to it. And then as they were giving, if they gave away all their money, they realized right away, well, I'm not going to be able to get that bicycle or that guitar or whatever it was that they were saving for. So as you help them budget, and everybody has to live on a budget. Everybody
right.
has to live
mm-hmm.
on a budget.
Right.
So even when we work with somebody who's very, very wealthy, they have to live on a budget. I need to know what they're living on so I could do a good job for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't live on a budget, I really can't work with them because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So even our kids should live on some kind of budget. And as they do that, they're going to learn, well, I could give away this much, I could save this much, and I could spend that much. And that's how you build a sound financial background for somebody, is when they're doing all these things simultaneously. It's like a plant. When you plant a plant, you have to water it. It has to get some sun. You have to give it some vitamins and things. All those things develop a good root system. But you got to start when the plant is young. And with our kids, we got to start young too. So it's never too early to start helping somebody, especially a child, learn how to work with money, because the habits that you develop when they're young are going to carry them out through their lives.
I think it's important, too, for parents just to be aware of their own attitudes, because kids pick up on that. They're watching and listening all the time, even around the corner. If you're having a conversation with your spouse about, oh, it'd be great to move out of this house and get a place that's bigger or better or a new car mm-hmm. or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, I think. But we have to work that contentment into our own lives, because our kids will pick up on it if we're not, right?
That's right. Exactly. And so we would call that modeling behavior. And if you want your kids to use proper language and etiquette, you should be doing it when nobody else is watching, because they're watching. They find a way to find all those little things that you say that you know you shouldn't have said. They will say that in front of somebody else, and when you yell at them, they'll say, well, you said it. So we have to model proper behavior. And I think that one of the most powerful impacts of having children is when you see your bad habits exhibited in them.
Yeah.
Well, where could they have learned that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's from me, Dave. So, we have to be careful to model proper behavior. And so the first thing in teaching anybody about money is you have to have your house in order. So you have to be living on a budget. You have to have a giving strategy. And, Ted, the thing that I always encourage people is, it's not the amount that you give. At some point, it will be that. But it's more important to develop a habit of giving and then work on the amount later. Just like when people save money, I don't really care about what you start saving. I just want you to start saving, because it's the habit that's most important. So if you could develop the habit of saving and giving and planning and budgeting, if you could develop those habits, they're a little bit painful at first. It's true. It's a little bit painful at first. But once you do it and you see what it can bring to your witness, to your walk, to your faith, to all the things that God has called us to do, you're going to be a joyous giver. You're going to be much less stressed out when your finances are in order. When you honor God in your finances, life just seems to be a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't promise us an easy life, but he did promise us salvation. So there's certain things that we have to do along our walk. And I think money is a big, powerful witness to those around us. If we handle it well, we do what God calls us to do, I think people are going to see that. And I think we need to handle our money well and give well also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate these tips as always, Dave. And we need the reminders, and they're good helps for us too, for ourselves and for our kids, maybe even grandkids. So thank you so much for joining us as always. And we'll talk to you soon in another couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a great day. Stay dry.
Yeah, stay dry indeed. Find links for Dave Safransky.